billows rise from the mighty deep. Then the Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let him lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. Jonas, can you help me up with Brother Jonas? Appreciate you.
God, thank you for this day and thank you for all you've done for us. Forgive for our sins and iniquities. God, bless the tithes and offering, and pray for all the prayer requests. And I pray for Brother Dell that you'll help him and God in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Maybe seated. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Its glittering towers, the sun outshines. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Let seek a home below. I feel like traveling on. With flames devouring, ways overflow. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. Feel like the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on until that blessed home I see. I feel like traveling on. Brother Ryan, you want to come up? I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Amen.
Good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen.
Okay, they got the PowerPoint projected. That's good. I don't know if it'll work all right, but y'all just, brothers, advance the slides with the lyrics, of course. We did this last year sometimes. Somebody requested we do it again, and Sister Johnny asked us this past Sunday to do a special. We didn't get to because we don't do specials in the morning. She was asking for us to do it in the morning. But anyway, so this is dedicated to Brother Dale and all the Dale family, I'll say, from Sister Johnny. And this is kind of a testimony song. It's you'll see as we go through the pictures here, if they work, a picture of Eula at about 4 years old when she was struggling with seizures, and then me with the truck wreck I had around back at that time, around 2015 or so, that I was driving a tractor trailer and somebody pulled out in front of me point blank and nobody went to the hospital. Everybody survived. The lady and the little boy, I hit them at 65 miles an hour, weighed 85,000 pounds. And it wound up everybody was okay, and that's a miracle. The Kentucky tornadoes that we were in up there a few years ago, the tree in our yard that we called Goliath because it was threatening to fall in our house, I spoke to it, said, fall the other way. Gabby confessed it, and it fell the other way, away from our house. And then, of course, all the testimony around Iva's birth when she was born with underdeveloped lungs. And then, of course, Iva at 4 years old also with the seizures she was going through during that time. So this song is about God delivering you and being with you when you're in those trials. And the Dale family is in a trial. God is with y'all. We got a lot of set up. I'm sorry. A lot of microphones to set up. There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I'll never be alone. There was another in the fire. Standing next to me, there was another in the waters, holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden, where another died for me. There is another in the fire. All my debt left for death beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Either way, I won't bow to the things of this world. Y'all can sing with us if you want. I'll never be alone. There is another in the fire. Standing next to me. There is another in the waters. Holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding what power set me free? There is a grave that holds nobody. Now that power lives in me. There is back in the fire. Oh, there is another in the fire. Oh, there is another in the fire. Oh, there is another in the fire. I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to him.
I can hear the roar in the heavens
as the space between wears thin. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. And still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things I've seen and this reckoning, I know I'll never be alone. I know I'll never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing. Should I ever need reminding of who you've been to me? I'll count the joy from every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be. I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to me. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wears thin. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing's in between us. Nothing's in between us.
Let's all stand this evening. We'll change over the service to hear the word and the truth of it. Amen. If I could say this for this year, coming, I was in the office of a pastor one time where we were doing some homeschool classes, and in that all, on the wall there was a saying, and just remember this throughout 2024. If you're not as close to God as you once were, make no mistake about who moved. That just has stuck with me. It impressed upon me so much. And to have that understanding, what a blessing. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. The eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. I'm trying to hear y'all. I don't want to hear me. Amen. You high and lifted.
Your power and love as we sing, holy. Thank you, Lord.
Holy, holy, holy.
Good to be in the house of the Lord, middle of the week. Good to see Brother Luis and Sister Christine back. And the girls, good to have y'all back. Where's Brother Eric at tonight? Yeah. Brother Keith Brown. Okay. All right. Well, good. St. Augustine. Okay. Somewhere down south. South Florida. No, it's North Florida, actually. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Middle of the week. Prayed up. Ready to go up. Ready to start another new year. Get everybody back. Feel whole again, Brother John. Sometimes you feel like you've lost an arm or a leg or something, you know, when the rest of the body hadn't been here in a little while. So we sure appreciate all of you. So, Brother Bob, y'all had a good time. I know it, Brother Dutchess. We sure appreciate you helping out there. You'll be going again this weekend, right? You'll be in Mobile? Kentucky. Well, Kentucky and Mobile. What? He'll be at Brother Larry Harris, right? Okay. And just pray for them as they go. Also, remember, on the 17th, which will be next Wednesday, Brother Eric will be back with us, and he'll be preaching for us next Wednesday night. Didn't get enough of him the first time, so we're going to use him until he leaves the next day. The next day he's flying out going home. So just remember that in your prayer. Also remember, January the 28th, Ryan hadn't been at all the other things he's announced. But on January the 28th, Brother Isaac Negron from Ohio will be with us. He's the pastor of the church now, so he's going to come down and speak for us on that Sunday. And his daddy's coming, and his other brother, Isaac, and Melissa, Elisha, sorry, and his wife, Melissa, are coming. So we're going to have a good time that weekend. We may have just a fellowship something here Saturday, not a fellowship meeting, but just maybe come here and eat and fellowship with the people if you'd like to do that. Maybe about 4 or 5 o'clock. It's my birthday's on the 26th, and Tabitha's is on Monday, so we're just going to combine them together. We're just going to try to have something at home, but we just might do it here downstairs, and it's just something you can come and fellowship. You can fellowship with them while they're here. Also, remember, those of you that are widows, that means that your husband or wife has passed. I was fortunate enough to kill 4 deer this year in Illinois, and they're big old big deer, and I've got one more coming from the processor. But downstairs in the freezer, if you stand in front of the refrigerator on this side, down in the freezer, there's several packs of deer meat. If you'd like to have some, widows first or widowers, and then when they're finished, then y'all can get whatever you want. What's left over there is some sausage, and if it's as hot, believe you me, if you like hot sausage, get it, because it's hot. We had to mix the mild with the hot to make it where I can even eat it. But there is some mild down there, too, I think. But just enjoy yourself with that. Let the sisters that are not married or I've always tried to take care of the widows. They always know that I kind of get up close to them and say, hey, you need anything? Are you okay? Sister Charlotte and Sister Kathy and different ones. And don't want to ever see them go without, because I tell you what, June's been gone like 4 days. And she's got about 6 or 7. Don't laugh. And she's got about 6 or 7 more to go over to her daddy's. I might have to take some of that deer meat home myself. I know how to cook. Don't laugh. But no, I know how it is. It's rough on people that are single. Single people, it's really, really rough. And we want to try to help as much as we can and enjoy some of the meat. It's really good. They're kind of corn fed up there, and they fed by corn and soybeans. So that's all it is hundreds of acres of soybeans and corn. So the meat's really good, a lot better than the ones down here. So just remember that. And also the banquet, February the 17th, will be on that Saturday. Probably start taking pictures at 4 o'clock and then we will have the banquet, as we always have forever. How many years this is coming up? So just make plans for that, and we will be announcing that a little bit more. So if you got your Bibles, you turn to John 1. We sure appreciate Brother Donaldo this weekend. Did an outstanding job, and he was right on point, and we really enjoyed it. And we enjoyed the brother that was interpreting for him, too. He did an outstanding job. So let's just pray for them. He's going to be here another couple of weeks. He's preaching somewhere else. And just keep all these foreign brothers in prayer. John 1, verse 1. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this place that we have, Lord, that's warm and cold outside and been stormy. And thank you for keeping us, Lord, safe from all the storms. And, Lord, I pray that you just be with us, Lord, in this service. Lord, the storms of life, we know that they take place too, Lord. And I pray that today, this afternoon, that we can lay those storms to you, Lord, because you are the master of the wind. You are the maker of the rain. You are the one that will calm our storm that's in our life. Father, we pray that you would continue to bless the people here, Lord, and just keep them safe. All the ones that are sick, we rebuke that sickness in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they feel better. Lord, we have commandment that we can do that we can say, go away from our brother and sister. And, Lord, make them whole. Father, we want to see them here. We want them to not be sick and running fever. And we know many times that's happened during our life and just don't feel well. But, Lord, you said you would restore us. And I pray that you'd restore those, Lord, that are sick today, Father, and just bless them. Take care of the ones that are on the highways, Lord, and Brother Eric and Brother Bostia that's gone in different places preaching. I pray that you'd bless them, Lord, and that you'd take care of our Hispanic brothers, Lord. We appreciate them. We love them with the love of the Lord. All the ones around here, Lord, Sister Brother Reyes and Brother Martin, different ones, Lord, I pray that you'd touch each one. Father, just forgive us of our sins and our mistakes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you made a mistake since Sunday? Some of y'all are lying. You just made one. So everybody can raise their hands now. We all make mistakes. Man, week's been kind of rough for me, so just pray for us. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that same Word was in the beginning with God. And we were talking about that Wednesday, and we'll continue on that a little bit more tonight. All things were made by this person, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh. All come down, that great funnel, all funneled down into that one man named Jesus Christ. And then now, through that one man, Jesus Christ, it's going to start going back the other direction. Amen. It'll be the expansion of God. It'll be God that'll look like the hourglass coming down, and then all of a sudden, all the sand's going to be down here. Well, that sand's in the bride. All right, the Holy Ghost is in the bride. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You can be seated. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'd have done it different. Have you ever said that before? I just do that different. Well, you don't have to tell God that, because he can't even do it different. He did it one way, he thought of it one way, and he thought of it perfect when he thought of it, so he doesn't have to have a second thought. Right? And he don't have another thought coming. This is his thought. And I like what Brother Donaldo was talking about. And I had preached that sermon down to Brother Martin's, and he'd watched it online from Honduras, and about the eighth day and about us being translated. I want to read this in Colossians. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. So he's delivered us from something and hath translated. That word translated means to look. Transfer. Remove from one place to another. All right? Or of change of situation or place. And the Bible tells us in here a few minutes, where are we sitting tonight if we're born again? We're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your soul is in another dimension because it's eternal. It's perfect. Never had a bad day. We got to realize that. When you receive the new birth, that's what you receive. You receive God. And you become deity just as he is deity, but we just get a little portion of it where he's all-knowing, all-powerful. The only reason we're not all-knowing and all-powerful is we have a carnal mind. And we have flus, and we have that thing called a brain. The greatest battle ever fought is in what? It's in your brain. All right, it's not your soul, unless you're not born again. If you're born again, that fight's over. But we sure have struggle in them other two. All right? Out into our body. Now listen what Paul says, and hath translated us into the kingdom. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is this the kingdom of God? At this moment, right now, is this the kingdom of God? No, it's the kingdom of the devil. This is Satan. He's a squatter. He don't have the title, but he's a squatter. This is his world to play with. Started in the Garden of Eden all the way to now. Amen. But we're going to get it back, but we're translated out of that. As our brother was talking about, we are not in this, we are not in this church age. Now, if we were in this church age, we'd be blind, wretched, miserable, naked, and not know it. But since we are part of the beginning of the creation of God, or a continuation of that creation of God, we have been translated out of this age. All right? Now listen, truly though, the seventh church age, the seventh day, lasts all the way to the end of the millennium. Now remember that. But eternity has come here now. We're not having to wait to eternity. I listened to several preachers online, and not from message preachers, but even the brother that was speaking the other Sunday when we went to that Baptist church, and not speaking against them, but they can only go so far. Jesus is out there. Jesus is, sure, he saved us, and sure, he John 3:16 us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But for you to say, I am part of Jesus, and I am perfect, they can't take that. They can't take that. But you and I, it should be a common thing to say that and to be able to believe it, not just say it. And then what? Then what do we do? The reason that they show who they are, because they still cut their hair, they still wear the pants, they still, you know, they'll a good old Baptist, he won't drink, but he'll chew a little backer and smoke, so Donnie knows that. But then you got these Presbyterians that drink. So you got all the groups of denominations that there's a part somewhere they can't live the full word of God. Because they've not been what? Taught to live the full word of God. You and I have been taught to live the full word of God. All right? And we're struggling. We're heading that way up the statue of perfect man unto perfection. But if you're born again today, that thing inside of you is perfect. Doesn't have any flaws at all. So we got to believe that, Brother Bob, he has translated us. He's picked us out of this age. Because if we stay in this age, we get all those damnable things. Wretched, blind, miserable, naked, and don't know it. All these different things. We've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. To transpose, transfer, remove from one place to another. See, what I see, that the denominations, they say, well, we're going to a place. We're going to heaven. We're going. They don't know that heaven's come here first. They don't know that Christ has already come here first. He's here in a group of people. They can't take that. They can take Jesus being their Savior and being on the cross. Do you understand that? And they could be saved. Foolish virgin, or given eternal life, but to possess eternal life in their soul, once you present this message to them, they've got to come to it, because this message is the soul of God for the end time. Amen. Amen. And that soul of God is transferred into you. That way you can say amen back this way. Because there's something inside of you rings true. That says that ain't nothing but the truth. Every service you ought to be like, headed right. That ain't nothing but the truth. That ain't nothing but the truth. That ain't nothing but the truth. If you hear Brother Brown preach, you say, that ain't nothing but the truth. Amen. And whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So watch Paul. He put us in heaven. Now I like Paul. Put us in heaven, translated us, then he brought us back and said, we have sin. Even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Remember, God said, you can't see my face. You can't see me. But I'm going to declare myself through this flesh called Jesus Christ. For by him were all things created. Who was the creator? The Son of God, the Logos. That said, let there be. All right? But that same one that said, let there be, became a baby and cried in a manger. 2,000 years ago? Or we got two different people? Visible and invisible. He created everything that we can see and can't see. Praise God. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Like I said many times before, we're either going to bow and do obedience every day to God, that knowing that he's our creator, he's our king, he's our sustainer, or somebody that's never bowed, that never going to bow a knee, some of the great men of the world that don't care a thing about God, they're going to bow, but they're going to have a look on their face. A lot different than the look we have on our face. As Brother Joe Canada was saying, we need to let our face up. We need to worship, even if we have to worship with a bigger smile this year than we had before. Or give a more resounding nod where he can just hear your neck pop. Praise the Lord. We should. Listen, if we're in a position, everybody with me? If we're in a position that this end time puts us in, which is the position of the full word being open to us, and us not be where we go have a moment to say, well, I don't know what that is. I don't know how to live. Now, you should never, as a believer, you should never have a thought in your mind to say, I wonder how to live. Don't get quiet. You can't say that. You've been taught by the message and by the preachers of this message. And Brother Branham, you've been taught, if you got a problem, there's two big books called Conduct, Order, and Doctrine. Go read those. That'll give you everything you need. As far as setting in order, as we were talking downstairs about the difference in a bride and a church. But a church has to be set up. A church has to have a foundation. A church has to have leaders. All right? And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, which is us. The beginning, the first, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, going back to Revelation 3:14, the beginning of the creation of God, that in all things what? He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, we were talking about it downstairs. There was a question asked, and we'll cover it one more time that way, if there's a question in your mind. Because the question was, is they couldn't understand how Adam, in other words, if you look at it one way, it looks like Adam, you know, the body was created, and then God just breathed eternal life in him. That's not what happened.
That's right.
Exactly. If not, that's the way we'd have to be.
Right.
Now listen, Adam didn't have a choice. Because he was a god of the earth. God set him up that way.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
That was the first part of him. That was his first son. That was the son of God. The Bible tells you that. Amen? A mini creator. Move stuff around. And he was all over the whole world. He wasn't just in one little spot called Eden. Sure, he was in Eden when he got put in flesh. But when he was ruling the animals and all, it's like Brother Brown said, it's like the Holy Spirit. He was just everywhere. Hard to understand, but that's exactly the way it was. But God wanted him, though, to go into one spot called a garden. Because guess what? That's where me and you are going.
Amen.
Remember the circle? You got to have a full circle.
Right.
We fell, so the circle's got to come back around and put us back in the Garden of Eden, in human flesh, with Jesus Christ walking around with us, seeing us face to face, and living with each other for eternity. Praise God. But Adam was not that way at first, because remember, if you look at Genesis 2:7, and what Brother Branham talks about, and I'll get to it in just a minute, where Brother Branham talks and he talks about animal life. Well, that's what you and I are in this. We're animal life, and we get a breath. All right? Now, remember, we're going to talk about born by the breath of God, which is the bride, and that's the new birth.
Right.
Our eternal life, not, and we suck it down our nostrils. No, it's just a metaphor. Because he had to do something, all
right,
to get this Holy Ghost inside of us. He had to do something. Genesis 2:7 said, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now watch, it says stop, there that semicolon, stop. And man became a living soul. we'll look at that, because that looks like that's what he breathed. But no, Adam was a living, breathing human being before God breathed eternal life into his body. We'll see that in just a minute. Don't get quiet on me. Brother Dale's been preaching this for 50 years. If you don't believe it, you need to go talk to him. John 20, verse 21 said, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them." I want to ask you a question. Did God breathe the breath of eternal life in you when you was a baby? Okay. Then you were breathing human being before you got born again. Adam was a breathing human being before he got eternal life, put in his soul. Okay. We'll explain it, because Brother Ram, really, if you look at one word he says, you'll see where he separated both of them. "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now listen, they didn't even receive it then. They just kept breathing regular human life. Yeah. Right. Amen? Right. They didn't get the new birth until 50 days later at Pentecost. Then he breathed eternal life into their nostrils. He breathed life into their nostrils when they became a baby. Right. But he breathed the breath of eternal life in them when they accepted it on the day of Pentecost. Right. Amen. "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Blasphemous names, Brother Brown says, church is the mystical body of Christ born of the breath of God. Now he's talking about a different kind of breath, because this is not the breath when everybody gets born as a baby. All right? Everybody with me? All right? Did you get it? Congregation says, amen. The church of God is born of the breath of God. God breathed into the nostrils, look, spiritually. All right, so that means he had to have a natural breath to begin with. Amen. This is a spiritual happening right here. Watch what Brother Ram said. God breathed into the nostrils spiritually of Adam. Not naturally, spiritually of Adam. And he became a living soul. Did you know the Pentecostals, or the true Pentecostal church, is born of the breath of God? All right, and then we talked about the Logos. And what is the Logos? It is the definition is to appeal to the audience. In other words, something that you can see, but you can't see. You see what it does. Everybody with me? Logos created everything. God had to come down from all this big funnel. He had to go down a little bit to Logos, where you and me can understand somebody standing out. I don't know what he was standing on, but he was standing there going, "Let there be a world. Let there be a moon. Let there be a star." And then he just kept thinking. Well, now he had those thoughts. If he was eternal, come on, if he was eternal, they were in his thoughts to begin with. I don't know how long ago before he made them. But he had to come to Logos, or speech, to speak it. It's way with me and you. You don't speak something. We formulate a lot of things in our head. Amen. And it could be. We could pick up the thoughts of God. Huh? But what if we never say a word? What if now, Brother Bob, he gets the word of God. The word of God comes. He gets a sermon, and he stands up here and goes, "Let's stand and dismiss." What'd you get? You didn't get what he was thinking? So we didn't get what God was thinking until he what? Logosed it, or spoke it. So that we can understand it. Then I can understand an eternal God that can bring himself down to a place to where he can say, "Let there be light." And then that form be something that even steps a little further, as Brother Adam says, into a theophany or a body. So that we can really understand who he is. Because remember, he's our daddy. And for him to declare us to be human beings, he had to be one. Right? A puppy dog, of course, a puppy dog don't have a soul, but if a puppy dog could look back and see a dog, he'd say, "I look like that. So that's my daddy." Yeah. That's the way we do. We have a soul, so we can look back and say, "That's my father." Amen. Amen. Adam could look back and say, "That's my father." Because he was made in his image. He was made a human. So that theophany is a manifestation of a deity. All right? Theophanian, theo, God. Phanian, which is to appear. So it's where we can see him. There was, because remember, when he walked in the cool of the day with Adam, he appeared. He was there. He had some sort of substance in him that wasn't like Casper the Friendly Ghost, where you can see through him and he just kind of floats over here and he kind of floats over here. And this cloud didn't come down and talk to Adam. God came down and talked to Adam face to face. Because there was no sin. There was no sin barrier. Now there's a sin barrier. That's why Moses, we read it last week, where Moses, he said, Moses, you can't see my face, but I'll let you see my back part. Now, it wasn't a dog, cat, or a camel. It was a what? Human back. Which was a theophany that Brother Branham said that was Jesus. Theophany that became flesh over here. All right, everybody with me? The deity of Jesus Christ, look. Just like this space here, then he gathered it up into Logos. Then he came from the Logos down to Christ. You say, Brother Wade, why are you backing up? Listen, we've got to, we're talking about that head guy. So we got to really understand that head guy before we step into the headstone. Because remember, the whole world rejected him. When he was on earth in human flesh the way he was supposed to be, the beginning of the creation of God, they hated him. They literally hated him so bad they killed him. And I'm talking about the religious people. I ain't talking about the bums and the murderers. Because the thief looked at him one day and said, I know that, hey buddy, shut up. This guy right here done no wrong. Now, how do you get that revealed to him? He never seen him in his circle. He saw the other guy in his circle because they were both thieves. But he didn't see Jesus in that circle. He said, in other words, he down inside, he was saying, hey, shut up. I've seen this guy at church more than you been. Don't throw things. Then he came from Logos down into Christ. It's just God coming down like this to what? To the earth. Then going right back into God again. Don't you see what I mean? Just revolving, coming down from space, from eternity, rolling together. Coming down into the Logos, and the Logos down into man, then returning right back again for one purpose. Look, to redeem that man that had fallen. He came down here and picked us up. Now, that's what he came for, to be a redeemer. And before God could be a redeemer, he had to be, according to the law, a kinsman redeemer. He had to be kinfolk to us. That's why Melchizedek was God Almighty, but he wasn't our Savior. He was the king of Salem, the king of peace. He had no beginning and had no ending. No father or mother. It was God. They just poured a little human flesh on top of him and appeared to Abraham. But listen, a prefigure to what we're seeing the Son of Man now. Where? In us. Excuse me, the resurrection of Lazarus, 1951. Now look, he might have given a hand like a monkey. He's talking about our physical body. Might have given him a face like a chimpanzee, might give him a foot like a bear, but God put a soul in a man. And we were talking, if you weren't here last Saturday at Bible study, shame on you. But we really covered a soul and what it was and what happened and all those things. And I thought it was really, I got something more out of it just sitting there talking about it. But this white cloud deity came down, not in the animal, in the man. And now if you want to go back and dig up some bones, let them dig up all the bones they want to. That don't have one thing to do with the word of God. Then here's this man, and now the man sinned, and when he sinned, he fell. Then that little cloud in there became marred and black. It didn't say he done away with it. Listen, Adam did not lose eternal life in his soul. God can't give you eternal life and then take it back away from you. Remember, God don't make a mistake. So if he breathed spiritually, Brother Brown says, spiritually he breathed eternal life into Adam. He became an eternal person with God. I'll read that here in just a minute. So God couldn't take that away. He lost the ability to become eternal in his body. Because what are we going back to? Eternity in a human body. Then the Logos came down and was made flesh and dwelt among us to redeem this man back to the love of the Father. And he came in by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, chased sin out of the human, praise God, and brings man back again into fellowship with God. Questions and Answers, 1953. What did he make? He made a spirit man. If you'll notice, after he made all the creation, created a spirit man. Now look, he created all creation, then he created a spirit man. Theophany. Genesis 1:26, man. Is everybody with me? Not in flesh yet. That's Genesis 2:7. Created a spirit man. The close reading of this now to the one that asked the question will find this. That God gave dominion of the cattle and the fish and everything to that man. But in his making up there, he made him in his own image to lead the cattle. Lead the beasts of the field, just like the Holy Spirit leads the believer today. See? He was, in other words, Adam, the first man in the lower creations of God. The first creation was God himself. What is create? Create doesn't have to be nothing to something. It means to be formed. All right? Because listen, you and I, when we receive the new birth, God does, he burns, tears out, kills nature, changes your thought, changes your ideas, well, I hope, changes the way we are, changes the way we dress, come on somebody, changes the way we, where we go, and you're still in the same thing you sinned in. Beer, Bible, that's what it was. This held a beer. I didn't have to cut my hand off and put a Bible hand on. You can laugh if you want to, but that's what God did. That's why, folks, this is a mystery. That's why Jesus was a mystery. Amen. He was the mystery of God revealed, and you and I are part of that mystery, according to Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He was the mystery of God, and you and I are part of that mystery of God. How that we can walk in this world. How that we can talk different, act different. Even our thought processes are different. And we're in the same shell, though, and we have... Oh, shoot. Wait a minute. We don't have problems when we get born again, right? How many of you guys do your taxes in April? That'll humanize you as much as anything in the world. Is having to pay them taxes. Oh, some of you get them back, but I like to have mine during the year. I don't want the government to keep mine. Praise the Lord anyhow. But what am I saying? This is the greatest mystery that ever hit the face of the earth. Was that God can live inside of you. Eternal person God live inside of you. Make you an eternal person with God. And nobody can see except what you declare. Now you sisters, obviously. And us men, we don't smell like smoke. We don't chew tobacco. We don't drink beer. I hope we got all that out of the way. But real, still though, I mean, if somebody sees Brother Donnie and myself 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 35 years ago, let's say. You're a little bit older than I am. 35 years ago. And you look at that person and I don't know if I've told you this before, but some of you are new. When we had our class reunion, we had our 10-year class reunion, which was in 1988, and I was still a list them all. Got drunk while I was there. Cursed like a sailor. That person they knew because we graduated together. We partied together. I'm just going to tell you something, but that's all right, that I ain't perfect. We partied, we had fun, and we even partied at the reunion. Oh, if y'all didn't, that's okay. But I did. So in 1998, went from 88 to 98, 20-year reunion, okay, I received the Lord in 1997. Got born again in 1998. Well, that was about the same time, June or July, there at we went to Kentucky, and then we came back, and we had our class reunion. 20-year class reunion. Well, I was vice president, and the president didn't want to do anything, so I was the president. So me and the other members, the secretary, treasurer, and all that, we met six or eight times, getting everything ready, getting the food ready, and you know, they wanted to party, and I'm like, why do we need a wet bar? For those of you who don't know that, that's a beer bar or something you pay for, and you go get a drink, all right? I said, we don't need that, and they're looking at me like, where'd you come from? To make a long story short, they always vote, you know, who was the farthest, who had the most kids, who's changed the most, who's changed the least. Well, I got voted most changed my guy. Amen. I got in the car and cried like a baby. I said, God, you declared, without me saying a word, you declared that I had been changed. Amen. And I still got that certificate in my closet. Amen. Praise God. I don't know where it's at, Sue, but I still got it somewhere. But yeah, they said, who is this guy? And then the girl, only Carlin, the girl, good friend of mine, she said, so that because they had a, you know, everybody danced then, you know, the people that won, the girl and the boy. She said, okay, let's dance. I said, no, that's not me anymore. You know, and they're all going, wow, you have really just bummed us out, buddy. You was the life of the party 10 years ago. What happened? I said, God happened. That's what happened. God happened. But can somebody see that in your life? I failed 100,000 times between then and now. But I still hold that one thing true. I have changed. God has changed me. If he hadn't changed you, please.
Amen.
Please know this God I know.
Amen.
Please know this person that will change your life.
Yes.
And even though that man inside of you watched that wet bar and said, you had no desire to go do it anymore. You had no desire to go dance anymore. I mean, this is just kind of off the thing, but it's kind of the new birth, you know. It's kind of that Logos has changed me, got inside of me, and burned all that out. You too. You got testimony the same way. I'm not no better than any of y'all. Like I said, I failed a million times between then and now. And if we have another class reunion, which is coming up in, Lord help, never mind, 2028 will be our 50th. They'll see we really changed by then. Gray, fat, ugly. Yeah, hey. But that's life, and this is life what we're living. If you haven't been changed like that, listen, we have struggles. Come on, that old me wanted to pull out there and dance and wanted to drink. I'm just being honest. Wanted to do that. Some part of me said, hey! Hey! You used to be comfortable doing this. What's wrong with you, boy? I said, you ain't my boy no more. That's what's wrong with me. And I ain't your boy no more. I'm God's boy now. Don't clap for me, clap for God. Because like I said before, I failed a million times since then. But there's one thing for sure. If you got the new birth, if somebody hadn't seen you in years, and they come around and they don't see a difference in you, you got a problem. You got a problem. A real big one. Because how is the only way God showed who he was through Jesus? Was his works. And listen, works can put you in hell. But if it's works, if it's the mechanics and the dynamics together, that's God. We'll read that if we get to it in just a minute. Okay, he wasn't an angel. He came on earth and took the form of a bondsman, not an angel. Came down in the great Jehovah glory, but he came down, he didn't. He came down as a man to redeem man, to die for man, to die for as a man. He never died as God. He died as a man. Now listen, God can't die.
Right.
Jesus didn't die.
That's right.
Sure, he died for us. But what he done was is that shell of his was the example. His soul went to hell. That body did lay cold and dead in the grave. There was no life in it at all. But on the third day, he picked that body back up, quickened it, made it alive, and turned it back into a young man. But he died as a man. The sin of man was upon the Son of Man. And he had to become a man in order to pay the penalty. 1957. This is Brother Branham. This is his statement. This is my statement. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe in his body. He was a man. Sure, he bled. He hungered. He was born of a woman just like I was. But his blood was not of a woman. It was of God. And Jehovah God, the Logos, who brooded over the earth in my message this morning, brooded the first man out of the dust of the earth, overshadowed Mary, brooded over her to fulfill his word, and created the blood cell. Listen, we have to have an act to make a blood. We have to have an act to put the blood cell where it's supposed to go. Is everybody with me? That didn't happen. That's the way he's a creation, beginning of the creation of God. That's the way it should have been in the Garden of Eden. And created the blood cell that brought forth the Son of the living God. I believe in a body, he was a man. I believe in his soul, he was God. He was God's manifestation here on earth. God was in Christ reconciling him, the world, to himself. I believe that he was not just a mere man, though. Look, now watch. Neither was he a prophet. He was God, Emmanuel. I believe with all my heart that being true. I can't prove it. If I could, then it wouldn't be a faith. In the beginning was the Spirit, and all the fountain of goodness and mercy and power and all the good things of God. God was the center of that fountain. And then the Logos that went out of God in the beginning became what we call a theophany or a supernatural body. Now, we just explained that. All right, I just wanted you to know that this Brother Brown believed it too. God's not just like the air. He's in a body. Now, the great mystery is, though, he can be in me and you right now, being somebody in China, in Egypt, Honduras, right now, the same person. He can move like that. Me and you can't because we have what? We have been encapsulated in this thing. That's why I can't go through that wall. But if I were to pass away right now, my soul would go right through into another dimension, but my body couldn't. It'd have to stay here because of sin. That's why Jesus' body had to stay here. He wasn't born in sin, but he took on our sin. And we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father, who's that? Christ. Here he talks to Moses. Moses said, I want to see you. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And he said, thou can't see my face, for there should no man see me and live. Now remember, that same guy looked at the disciples several years later. Why? He come as a redeemer. He wasn't coming as a redeemer right here. He was a redeemer. It was inside of him, but that wasn't human flesh. Just like Melchizedek. Melchizedek was Almighty God, and it was Jesus inside, but it wasn't Jesus the flesh. Melchizedek was my brother. He just slowed down into this dimension, as Aaron said, throwed some 16 elements, and it just kind of molded around him. He talked to Abraham, and when he walked out of Abraham's sight, he disappeared. Just a pile of sand about that high, probably, when he went over into another dimension. That's my God. He's a creator. Why can't he do that? And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall not be seen. Now, he never said that to Adam until the fall. Then he went looking for Adam. And then there was that chasm. Then Genesis 3 put that chasm there. He said, but I'm going to come back. All right? John 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. All right, now watch this word, declared. To lead out, be leader. Now listen, he's talking about Jesus standing in on earth. Everybody with me? Because that was God. But it was God inside of him. All right? And he's declaring who he is. He said, show me where the scriptures, I don't fulfill the scriptures. Show me where I don't do what the Old Testament said I would do. Show me. And they couldn't show him. They said, we are Moses. We got our quote book. Watch this right here. To unfold a teaching. See, he declared God so clear that me and you understand that now. They didn't understand it then. All right? Look, to unfold the things related to God, also used in Greek writing of the interpretation of things sacred and divine, oracles, dreams, etc. So what did God do? God went into a human body and then Jesus declared who he was. You and I, just like I said before, you'll declare who's inside of you. I'll promise you that. Because the real you is the one you fight all the time. All right? One way or the other. Now, Brother Branham, this part is where he's talking about Father, Son, Holy Ghost is hatched out of hell. That's why the Son of Man never taught these things. When he was standing on earth, that 3.5 years of ministry on earth, he did not make a mistake with his teaching. Now, he might have called Thursday, Tuesday, like us that do get older. But when he was talking, when he was preaching, when he was teaching, when they wrote it down, when the Holy Ghost told them to write it down, because a couple of those weren't there when he was alive. I mean, when he was with Paul, wasn't there. Luke wasn't there. Luke was with Paul. But they have a clear understanding because the Holy Ghost said, hey, just like Brother Branham, when Brother Branham sat there on Spoken Word's original seed, he said, the Holy Spirit said, pick up your pen and write. Now, I believe you me, whatever he wrote from there to where he finished, that was God writing it. Well, I believe he was all the way, but I believe that is he was telling us, this is what I'm telling you right here. Because I believe on Spoken Word's original seed, that's where everything turned. And he focused in on that Son of Man. Because after that come the seals and all the different, the great powerful messages that he preached. But Father, Son, Holy Ghost is hatched out of hell. Trinitarianism hatched out of hell. Three unclean spirits like frogs. Every false doctrine did not come from heaven. Every false doctrine come from hell. So the Son of Man, as Brother Ryan many times, we'll read it later on, but not tonight. Many times he said the same message that Jesus preached, the same message of the Son of Man. It was the Son. This is the Son of Man. Then they say Brother Ryan made mistakes. Yeah, 4,400. But when he was preaching, it was God preaching to us. They could not hold it for that past that 50th day. Because that was the day of Jubilee when everything went back to its original beginning. The power of God was taken back to its original. Look what happened on the day of Pentecost. See, it got took back. That original lion, L-I-O-N, that lion spirit, that first combat beast, L-I-O-N, not lying, lion, the bold. Listen. There was not a Baptist church on every corner. There wasn't a Methodist church on every corner. They preached one God. They preached water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They preached holiness. They preached all these different things. Then when man kept coming and getting into it and tearing it apart, that's what made it into denominations. So during right there on the 50th, the original, that was the Jubilee. It set man free. If they would accept it. Listen. As the brother said, and I said many times before, if you don't listen to what God's got, he's going to bore you through your ear with an awl. And you might be able to hear that train go down that track. You might be able to hear the birds and the thunder and the lightning, but you'll never hear the voice of God again because you've sealed yourself away. You have turned down the acceptable year of the Lord. Because all things go free. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's when he stepped out of the tomb. Brother Brown now continuing with that same quote. I kind of stuck that in. There'll come another year of Jubilee. All right, remember the Alpha and Omega, those two brides. All right. So that's why that there had to be a turning back from what we're doing now, not now, but denominationalism, back to the faith of the fathers. And that's what Brother Brown did. He came to tie the loose ends. He came to present what the disciples presented in the AD 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. Then when you go to AD 300, that's when it starts being cut back. The cord starts being cut. Well, we think it's this. Well, we think it's this. We think he was a like substance of God. Then they come from a what? A saying to a deed to a doctrine. We'll cover that in the seals when we get to the headstone up here. We're going to have to talk about seals, but that's what it is. But if you'll notice, Pentecost has been falling in America for about 50 years, somewhere on that. just about 50 years, Pentecost began to fall. Now, what's happening? The church is receiving the seven seal book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. What happened is they turned it down. And not one tenth of them can receive it. He's talking about Pentecostal. Not one tenth of them can receive it. But when you begin to see the year of Jubilee, when you know that we can go free, when we know that we know that we know we've heard the trumpet sound, where we don't have to fuss and strain and pull, but we're already secured in Christ. We already have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. What's he saying? We've righted all the wrongs. We have all these great mysteries that we're going to bring up in these seven seals and prove to you that them was the seals that were sealed from the eyes of the people. That's why they had false doctrine in the second age, third age, and all the way up to now. Because the book wasn't open. The book was sealed. Until the time of the end, it would have opened then. But God said, seal it till the time of the end. This is the end time. God can't go past his word. Had to bring all those church ages up. Had to let them fall. Had to let them. You got a name that you're dead. I hate you because you take down that Jezebel spirit. I'm reading in Revelations 1, if you don't mind, 1 and 2, because it's what God said to the church ages. You've lost your first love. Got a name, you're living, but you're dead. We have all these great mysteries that we're going to bring up in the seals and prove to you that it was the seals that were sealed from the eyes of the people. Of God being my helper, I'll prove to you that they could not see that by the Bible. If they would have seen it, like Brother Branham saw it and revealed it to us, they'd have never had it. They never went to Nicaea. If they'd went to Nicaea, they'd have got it correct.
Yeah, right.
I'll prove to you they could not see that by the Bible. Then sure, if the Bible says so, you'll believe it. That they could not see nothing but Father, Son, and Holy Ghost until this time. Listen, if he didn't, then Luther's gone. Yeah. Wesley's gone. Pentecost is gone.
Yeah.
Right. But God winked at their ignorance. You know why? Because he waited. He had patience to wait till me and you got here.
Amen.
Not just the prophet. You and me got here.
Amen.
If Brother Branham would, hey, Brother Branham, 1,100 sermons, right? We believe that was the mind of God talking to us, right?
Amen.
Is that right?
Right?
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What if he'd have stood up just like I said Bob would do? Let's say only believe and dismiss. No, he gave us 1,100 sermons. That he give us now 60 years to get those sermons right. And only, again, Brother John, a tenth of the people in this whole nation even knows who William Branham is. Now think about all those cities I go through. Now, I don't know. I'm just saying. I have looked and tried to find message churches on the way. Like when I go to Illinois, I go to Chattanooga. I don't know of anyone in Chattanooga. Nashville, biggest city as it is, Brother Joseph Hammond's in Murfreesboro, and Brother Siler's in Manchester. Then you go on up to Clarksville, Tennessee, big city. Now you got Brother Byler in Hopkinsville. But Paducah's a great big town, great big city, beautiful city. As far as I know, they ain't a believer there. Then you're going up to my where I hunt there in Marion, Illinois, and I tried to find somebody. And there's nobody there. Never heard of William Branham. Never heard of him. Sad.
Right.
You better know yourself as you're fortunate.
Amen.
That God spoke to you. And gave you even just an opportunity to press play.
Amen.
If the press play people would do that, go into a city where Brother Branham's voice has never been heard, and stand on the corner and press play, I'll pay for it. But don't come into this church and try to do it. Don't come into a church that believes in a five-fold ministry and try to do it. Don't put that down my throat. Yours either. But there is a place for it. Everybody all right? Revelation 3:14 says, "To the angel of the church of Laodicea," that's us, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now remember, God was what? His first creation was God himself, which is the Son of God, the Logos, which is a lower form of the same man, so that we can understand him. No man has seen God at any time. I'm going to say no man has understood God at any time. How can you understand somebody who's never had a beginning? How can you understand somebody that can be here on Mars, Venus, China, at the same time? See there? You're silent. But I know that God. And you know that God because he's declared himself to us that he can't be the Holy Spirit inside of me and inside of you and inside of the person in China and the Philippines and all the different places. That is God that can move, that moves faster than the speed of light. Now, Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God, Revelations 1. I hadn't even got where Brother Branham said he's the beginning and we're the continuation. We'll get to that a little bit later. Is that right? Then when was God created? He is the beginning of the creation of God, and God is eternal. Is that right? But when God was created, when a little baby that was conceived in the womb of a mother, a virgin, and she began to develop these cells within her to bring forth this little baby, that was the beginning of God's creation. Right? For God was made flesh and dwelt among us and became Emmanuel, God with us, the beginning of the creation of God. In him dwelt eternal light. All right? There was no darkness in this man at all. All right? That's what I have to believe. I have to believe he is the sinless one, but he took on my sin. Because you know what? God judged him. If he's in you, he can't judge you. That's why we already been to hell. If we got the person who went to hell in us that conquered hell in the grave, we got him in us. Someday we're going to realize that, and we're all going to go to the grave. There was just reflecting the light of one perfect light, and there he was, the perfect light of God, beginning of the creation of God. God perfecting him, church, perfecting his church. God himself came down into a blood cell and wrapped the blood around him, the blood cell, the germ of life of God himself, wrapped in this blood cell that brought forth the Son, Christ Jesus. Now look. What he did by that to make you perfect and bring you back into fellowship, he brings you through that blood cell into himself. You get it? Through the blood cell of the Lord Jesus that unveiled the life of Jehovah, and we coming through the blood cell becomes a part of that life. So deity itself lays in the man that's received the Holy Spirit. You are a son. I'm a Branham by birth, and a part of Mr. Mears Branham is in me. And if you become a son and daughter of God, part of deity lays inside of you. Right. Now, blasphemous names. Here's where we'll just piece all this together about what happened with Adam and what happens with us. But here, Jehovah Witness in their book. Now, you're talking about Jehovah Witness. It says it's the breath that you breathe is your soul. Now, that cannot be right. The breath that you breathe is not your soul, all right? So the breath Adam was breathing was not his soul. He was a living being. But his soul didn't breathe in and out. His soul is a real person, that individuality. And that soul stuck in your body. That soul was stuck in Adam's body. No transmigration. Can't become another soul somewhere else. Now, you're one kind of soul. Next time, you're somebody else. That means, Susan, never mind. Me and somebody else. I'll just become Sue and she'll become me. Boy, that would be confusing, wouldn't it? Because who are you? You're schizophrenic. You may be Brother Gary. You may be Brother Boyd. You may be Brother Bob. You may be whoever. No, you're one person soul, and that's who you are, and you got a name. Right. All right? So that makes it more simple that, I can be this, but I can. No, you are you. You are the one that's going to be judged, as we read many scriptures downstairs Saturday. That soul is what's going to be judged. Look where you'd be. Now, the breath is wind, and what you breathe into your nostrils. It's just wind. Now take the scripture from back and God breathed the breath into his nostrils and he became a living soul. I want to ask you something. If he was a man, now look, if he was a man, what kind of breath was he breathing before God breathed his breath of life into him?
Yeah, right.
See? What kind of breath? He was a breathing living man.
Yeah, right.
Well, then if that be so, now he's talking about this, he's talking about every animal's a living soul. What he's saying is, Adam's breathing, the animals are breathing, but Adam's different because God's fixing to give that soul eternal life. He's not going to give eternal life to these because they don't have a soul. Everybody with me? So now, I'll read it here. Then if that be so, then every animal is a living soul because they breathe a human soul and our soul and all together. He's talking about breathing back and forth. Think about that when your cat or dog breathes on you. But look, and it makes sense. The animal sacrifice would have been sufficient. We wouldn't have had to have a man die for us. If that's true, but they don't have a soul. So that soul couldn't come back on us or into us. So, brother, the argument don't stand. But what God did, he breathed the breath of eternal life. Amen. Then he became a living soul, a soul that can't die.
Right.
Amen. Now watch. We're going to get into honey plumb up to your elbows. Notice, breathe the breath of eternal life into his nostrils, and he became an eternal soul. Because look, because God breathed, comma, stop, listen, not what nature done.
Right.
Listen, we were naturally breathing before we got born again. And right now, you're naturally breathing again. But we have the breath of life inside of us because we have the new birth. But it didn't change our breathing. I wished it would. Walk a couple of miles and see if you're eternal. I mean, see if your breath's eternal. I don't even want to go there. But look, because God breathed not what nature done, but what God did. All right? Breathe the breath of life into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Then you say, Adam died, Brother Branham. But remember, before Adam died, he had a lamb that redeemed him. Hallelujah.
Right.
Those who he foreknew, he called. He got a lamb to... Why did Adam need a redeemer if his breath, that when he became a living person, his breath was eternal? He didn't need a sacrifice.
Right, right, right.
Amen.
Then the lamb was provided for Adam because already in his nostrils he had become the breath of eternal God. And he became a living soul. He was a son of God. Not his breath. Africans call it a moya. Let's continue on and go through this. But look, paragraph 190. But God, specially upon Adam, because he didn't own us at our birth. All right? Everybody with me? But Adam was a full-grown son of God. God created him that way. All right? Breathed the breath of eternal life, and he became an eternal person with God. He was a person before, he became an eternal person with God. You were a person before, now you're an eternal person with God, if you have the new birth. He had power like God. He was an amateur God. He was God of the earth, not God of heaven now, God of the earth. And someday the sons of God will again become gods. Blasphemous names continue on. The church is a mystical body of Christ, born of the breath of God. I've already read this, but I'll read it again. Did you get it? Amen. Church of God is born of the breath of God. God breathed breath into the nostrils spiritually of Adam.
Right.
Not nature. Not what nature done. Spiritually into Adam, he became a living soul. Do you know the Pentecostals or the true Pentecostal church is born of the breath of God? Then he talks about there in St. John and see whether the church is born by the breath of God or not, like Adam was in the beginning. And then he reads the scripture, and what does the scripture say? He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Church, born of the breath of God. When this stature, not statue, when this stature has molded itself up there in condition, God's breath breathes upon them, receive the Holy Ghost. Then you are a son of God. You can join anything you want to, but you're born in the church of the living God. Born by the breath of God, God breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Oh my, there you are. But when you become a child of God, you are born by the breath of God. Hey, man, better leave it alone right there. He must have got some rebound from his discernment where somebody was going, no, I don't believe that. I'm glad I don't have discernment like that. Did you ever notice a little baby when it's born, its little muscles twitching, jerking? When it comes to the earth, it receives the spirit. Then it becomes a living soul. And as soon as the soul goes back from that little body, there's another one waiting for it. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting. It's not something hanging up in the closet. It's inside of you. Because first God makes the soul and spirit, it just goes to the bodies. And then when we leave here, we only change dwelling places and go to another one. For this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. So that's our consolation. Comforter, 1961. But as soon as it's born, talking about a baby, you don't see it, but there's a spirit and a soul hanging near that mother to come into that baby just as soon as it's born. Think about that next time you witness a birth or God was there. Something was there. It wasn't the devil. Well, the devil might have been there to disrupt everything, but when that baby goes and starts crying, God did that. God did that. And until the age of accountability, God still did that. But when you come to the age of accountability, if I can get to it, I'll read it real quick. Brother Brown says, now you make a choice. All right, look, just as soon as that baby's born, God has created a soul and created a spirit to be in that baby just as soon as it's born into this world. That little baby becomes, now look, that little baby becomes matured and it begins to learn. Then it becomes a living soul. Now, it wasn't a dead soul before. Now it's got to make a choice, life or death in your soul. Then it's got, just like Adam and Eve, set before a tree of right and wrong. It makes its choice. And then it becomes intelligent. It's growing all the time in God's great economy. Now, Brother Ram, just to clear this up, listen, when your soul goes in your body as a child, as a baby, it stays there until you die or translated. All right? Before I close this subject, I know there's a question in your mind. You will want to know if I believe in the doctrine of preexistence. Now, I explained that last Wednesday. The Mormons believe that we all existed before we ever come down here. Right. We had a mind, we had intelligence, we thought about this, we had a plan that we wanted to make Jesus be the Savior, and the Father liked his plan more than he liked Lucifer's plan, and Lucifer preached his message to a bunch of other people, and they came down here in human bodies, and we got down here in human bodies, and here we are. Brother Brown, they asked him one time, and I didn't bring it, but Brother Brown, what were you before you were born? He said, you were nothing. Only in the mind of God were you something. Remember the thought? Those thoughts stayed there. Until one day, you needed a soul and a body. I mean, a soul and a spirit. There's not a body that ever comes here that don't have a soul where it can. God's not going, I didn't know that was going to happen. No, God knew everything. Had them all ready. Had them all ready to go. And then that soul that you have by the new birth is not exchanged, it's changed. Because if it was exchanged, that means you just take this one out and put another one in. Confusing. This is the best way because God thought of it. I don't believe in the Mormon doctrine of preexistence of souls any more than I believe in reincarnation. In other words, coming back as something else. Or the transmigration as far as the Amoya. The I can breathe in Brother Donnie long enough and he'll become me. Gary. He won't even want to get close to me now. Be careful here and see this. It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. I wish the people would see doctrine. People would see that. It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It's the word or seed. Way back there, too far back for the human mind to grasp the eternal God. Look, with eternal thoughts. Thought and decreed, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And neither was born, neither had done good or evil. But God knew they would. By what? Foreknowledge. So it was the thought. And then that thought became expressed. And God bought back Jacob, because Jacob alone was seed. He saw that Jacob would take the birthright, and Esau would not. Jacob alone had the seed. That is why he had respect to the birthright and covenant of God. If you are true seed, you will hear that word. The Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ, filling you and empowering you, because you're not filled or powerful any other way. The Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ, filling you and empowering you, and you will receive the word for your day and age. That's what the new birth is. Ezekiel 18:20. I brought these from downstairs from Saturday. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So do you sin in your body? Nope. Do you sin in your second realm? Every day. But you ask for forgiveness. But it's the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now look, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. So he's separating into persons. Just because my daddy was a drunk, which he was not, just because if your daddy was a drunk or your mama was a prostitute, that has no bearing on you. Right. Oh, yeah, it'll be bearing on your head and your brain. Right. But you can't say, I can't get born again because my mama was bad. I can't get born. You can't blame your mom and daddy for it.
Amen.
You're going to stand before judgment as an individual. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. All right? Matthew 16, verse 26. Jesus says, what is it of man that profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Wow. So what does your soul do? It makes you an individual, a unique person. Gives you free will and a choice. That's it.
Right.
It don't migrate. It don't die. And God pulls that one out and throws it away and brings you a new one. No. He cleans you up.
Right.
Praise God.
Amen.
You'd be a different person. We are a different person. You understand? We're a new creation. But we're not a different. I'm still way down. You're still whoever you were before you were born again. You just have new thoughts. Brother Brown covers that many, many times. But now watch this. When that sacrifice is received by the fire, it goes up like that. The smoke goes up. You rise with your sacrifice. Now watch. You rise with your sacrifice. We're sitting in heavenly places. All right. Our soul has been redeemed. So watch. You rise with your sacrifice into the heavenlies, and you're sealed away from the things of the world then, our souls on his altar.
Right.
Right. Now listen, it's not somewhere else. Still inside of you, but what it's done is you've been translated, as we read in Colossians, you've been translated
right.
into that. That's why your thought process is different.
Right.
What are you done then? After you have died... Then what are you to do? Then you are conceived anew. He's talking about dying out to yourself. You are conceived anew. You was first conceived in iniquity. Now you're conceived in something new. What is it? The living word.
Amen.
Not just letters on a page. The living word of God.
Right.
Something living out of sight, out of you.
Yes.
All that changes it now, doesn't it? Now we're through the struggle after seeing what you got to do. Now what happens? You're conceived anew in the living word. What is it? The word becomes alive in you. You begin to see things different. Where once you couldn't see that, now you do see it.
Amen.
There's something different now. Makes all the scriptures come together.
Yeah, right.
That makes sense. The Baptist can read the Bible. An unconverted person can read the Bible and get a total different perspective than you get.
Right.
They do it every Sunday. There's something different now. Makes all the scriptures come together. Makes everything dovetail just right. That's why Brother Bram said that the manifestation of the new birth in the end time is receiving what? Not the word for Luther's day. That's out there in the denominations. He said, you receive the word for your day. All right? Recognizing what? Your day and its message. Now, something's begun to happen. Now, you die to your own thinking. Now, you're conceived because we are washed by the water of the word. Is that right? What do you do with a baby as soon as it's born? You wash him.
Right.
As soon as a man has died to himself and born of God, he's washed by the water of the word. That's why I'm telling you, and I'll tell you, Dad's told me a million times, he said, if somebody walks in this door and they sit on the front row and they're just absolutely on fire with God, give them about 6 months. You'll see if it was good or not.
Right.
We've seen it happen time and time again. But I had rather you sit like Brother Luis did. Sit and listen. Take your time.
Right.
Process it. Let God speak to hear, not hear. Let God speak to your heart.
Right.
And let a preacher preach to you.
Right.
Because he's going to what? Discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. Maybe not discern as far as I know what you're thinking. No, but God does. And he'll bring a word down that'll help you. Sit there. And just keep listening. Then if you want to shout, that's okay. If you want to sit on the front row, that's fine. But we've seen way too many people. Like Brother Brown said, what? A house on fire, windy day. Burning the candle at both ends. You light the candle on both ends and it runs out twice as fast. So settle down, listen to the Word of God, stay in the Word of God, because listen, if you stay under the fountain long enough, you will get wet.
Right. Amen.
He's washed by the water of the Word. If it says Jesus' name, you say Jesus' name. It says you must be born again, you say the same thing. Ever what God says, you're washed by that water of the Word. Now you're ready now for life. You're ready to start now. You're born anew, born in the family of God with a new parent. Yes, sir, your tutors used to be now. You got tutors that is now. You got a new parent. You can't be born without having a parent. Well, praise God.
Amen.
So if you're born in the brotherhood of a church, that's what you got. If you're born in a creed, there you are. But if you're born in God, conceived in his word, you got a new parent, that's God. Ready to make his word known among us with you. Speak it through you.
Amen.
Speak it through you.
Right.
Oh, a new parent. That parent is God. He's ready to take his word now that he's already spoken, lay it in you and make it come to life.
Right.
Now look. Now he pronounced all that. And he said, see? Question mark. He's asking a question. Now, you have your training.
Yeah, right.
You're born again. Now you have your training.
Right.
You're ready to go into training now, child training. That's the hard part. When you think you ought to do this, and the word cuts you around and shows you something else, everybody who's been there, me, I have been there before.
Amen.
While they believe that over... That don't make any difference what they believe.
Right.
Here's what God said. You must be about the Father's business. Now you're getting born again. Now you're getting right, getting straightened out. You have a new parent. So in order, if you're born again and got a new parent, then you got a new nature. The old nature's dead. Now you say the old soul, the old nature that's attached to your soul is dead. And you got a new nature. You once was going one way. Now you're going another way. You once was going this way down, now you're going this way up. Your affections are set on things above. A new affection. You don't love the things of the world no more. Your affections of God.
Right.
Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Real quick, musicians, come on. Let's stand to our feet. He's in Clarksville, Indiana, which is not far from Jeffersonville. He said, I see some of the tabernacle folks here. I'm going to say this about the big sister. Talk about the tabernacle. One thing that the tabernacle needs up there at our church, at the tabernacle at Jeffersonville. Now, this is where Brother Branham preaches, is a rededication and a refilling of the Holy Ghost. That's right. Everyone to get down to the altar and pray until they get a renewing. See, that's why we're right here now. A renewing or a refilling, not get the new birth again, get a refilling of the Holy Ghost. That's right. Everyone to get down to the altar and pray until they get a renewing of the Holy Ghost. The whole church be filled with the power of God. That's what we need. Not only the tabernacle, but the body of Christ universal. It needs a refilling. I like David said one day, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Now, he had not lost his salvation, but the joy of it. How many of us think maybe we've lost kind of the joy of our salvation? Amen. Now he had not lost his salvation, but the joy of it. And when it comes to a place that I can't enjoy my religion. When it comes to a place that I can't enjoy my religion. Oh, I'd rather go out and eat instead of going to church. Well, I got family coming on Sunday during church time. I got my back turned so in case somebody will throw anything and hit me in the back of the head. Everybody believe Brother Branham was a prophet? I'm going to turn around and see if we raise our hand. Everybody believe he's a prophet, right? He said there's something wrong somewhere because it's supposed to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. What shall we do with Jesus? 1963. Let me say something. This uniting time to see churches uniting, nations uniting. It's a uniting time of God and His bride, too. And I say this with reverence and respect. I believe that the bride of Christ is called. Wow, that was in 1963. I believe she's sealed in the kingdom of God. I believe the mechanics is there. Now watch his verbiage. Watch what he says. They're waiting for the dynamics that'll take her off the earth into glory in the rapture. Everybody with me? Amen. I believe it with all my heart. Yes, sir, we don't know how he's going to do it, but he shall do it. I know how he's going to do it through the word of God, through the message of the hour. Amen. Study and read your Bible. He is the dynamics. Now watch what he says a little bit later, and we'll stop right here. We just become members of the machine of his body, forming ourselves into his image, and see him uniting himself with us in his works, with his love gifts, as he hands them to us just before the wedding supper. Remember, we get married down here. Amen. We go to, if we don't get married down here, we don't go to a wedding supper. Amen. We get married down here, we go there. We're waiting, watching for that. Look, their big church is being to be united. The dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit that we have worked in a small measure while the headstone is coming down to unite with the body. Watch what he says here. But when that head and body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost will raise her up just exactly like that. Even the dead that's dead in Christ for hundreds of years will raise in the beauty of his holiness to take a flight to the skies. The dynamics is the Holy Spirit. One more time, Lord, listen to this. Now, see, if we don't take all that steam and know how to direct it fundamentally in the word, he's talking about, remember he said the certain group had plenty of money in the bank, but no checks. This one over here had plenty of checks, but no money in the bank. All right, that's what all this is, just to save time. I said, now, if you would just take all that steam and know how to direct it fundamentally in the word, the big regime of God would start moving on. He's talking about the Pentecostal. There's where Satan got in. Now, watch this. To make it all mechanics and no dynamics. Now, we see that. But now we see in the message a lot of dynamics and no mechanics. Somebody say amen. Amen. Same people having a shouting good time, which is fine. But where's the word of God to grow you? Back, all dynamics and no mechanics. See, we've got to put it together. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit. How many believe that? We've got the power of the Holy Spirit. But we've got to come back with the word to feed this machine. Amen. To feed the machine. We can't feed it on creeds or false doctrine. It won't burn it. Chokes up the flues, and it will not burn it. It was made for the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, not just part of it, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I like what he says. To feed this machine, we got to go back to the word of God. Amen. Amen. To feed this machine, let's sing a song. God bless you.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his words this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
You can have all the blood you want, but without the life behind it, it's no good.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Do you rest each moment in the
crucified, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of our Lord?
A refilling. That's what that is right there. But that's not a refilling that, you know, a lot of times our life is in waves. Sorry, mine is. Ups and downs. Ins and outs. And you're still going to have that till the change. But some things that bothered you a year ago, if it bothers you still now, we got a problem. You've not moved. You got to move. Ask God for a refilling. A refilling. God, I want some more. My cup's not running over. I want it to run over. That what you really want? Or you want to just stand there with your arms down and look off into space? You're not going to heaven doing that. Got to have a little joy, a little life, as Brother Joe was talking about. You're going to produce what's inside of you. One way or the other. It's manifesting time. You're going to manifest who you are. You can sit there with your nose in the air and look off into space and not ever say amen. Don't bother me none. You the one that's going to have a problem. Now listen. Just what I read. If this part of Christianity is not a joy, if it's not a joy for you to come to church, if it's not a joy for you to press play anytime you want to, if it's not a joy, something you enjoy. I enjoy going to church. If you don't enjoy sitting here and listening to the Word of God, then find somewhere to go. If you find them preaching the Word of God, maybe it'll make you happy. I don't know. But we're going to have some joy this year. We just might break out into a revival. Just ask for a refilling of the Holy Ghost. And God will touch our life and make us better Christians. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time you give us. Thank you for the people that are here, Father. And I pray that you'd be with each one, Lord, on the highways. We hope that we've said something, Lord, that will not hurt someone, but will help them, Father. That they'll listen to you, Lord, in the stillness of the night, Father, that you'll speak to them, Lord, by your word and by reading the Bible and listening to Brother Branham or whoever brings a word of God, Lord. I pray this would be with them, Lord. Touch each one of our lives. Be with the ones that are sick, Lord. The devil just wants to destroy our bodies. But, Lord, you said you'd raise up a standard when the enemy comes in like a flood. So, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your precious name, I pray that you'd heal everyone. Make them just whole, Father, and make those fevers go away and coughing and all whatever it is. Lord, I know the body is, many times we listen to Brother Branham, he tells us about letting the body heal itself by, that's what temperature is. It brings you white blood cell count up and it fights the disease. Lord, we know that, but Father, it is horrible to have a fever, Lord. And I pray that you'd break those fevers, Lord, and that you'd rejuvenate all the bodies, Lord, that we're talking to now and the ones that will be watching in, Lord, I pray that you'd touch them, Lord. Bless us now and take care of us until we come back Sunday, Lord, to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're just...
Are you washed in